is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Go. We lost a great one today, one of the all-time great guitar players in history, Eddie Van Halen, who formed Van Halen, passed away at the age of 65 today. We're going down memory lane. Waddle's telling us good high school stories.
I'll give you another one real quick. When this album came out and Panama was all the rage, my buddy Phil Vogel, I've always told you this, thought he was screaming Tannenbaum. So Phil would drive around town before he knew really what it was. He would just scream Tannenbaum.
I think that's common with this song, too. Like, a lot of people thought it was Animal instead of Panama. Yeah,
I don't know why, but my buddy Phil thought it was Tannenbaum.
It's a common occurrence. Let's talk to Dan Weider, who's a little bit younger than us. He joins us on the Corona Hotline right now. Great writer for the covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. And there is lots to discuss. But was Van Halen one of your favorites?
Boys, I had the Diver Down cassette tape, probably ordered from Columbia House at some point.
Oh, yeah.
In my life there in the 80s. That was in the boom box that my brother and I shared. Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget the 84 Cubs, right? I'm sure you guys have probably already mentioned that, but, taking the field to jump, that's a big deal for a kid in the 80s, you know?
It was a huge deal, and like, that album was called 1984 as well. So yeah. It was perfect.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the brass tacks here. Waddle
1984 was also the last time that the Bears had a consistent offense.
Hey, now!
Hey! Here we go. Let's go.
So, like,
you say your case. Wow.
We started today's show kind of asking questions. Like, now for the next 12 weeks, Dan, this is Matt's offense, right? Like, he's got the quarterback that they chose. He's got a new coaching staff that he chose. He's had a say in a lot of the pieces inside that offense, a huddle. Shouldn't we now find out a lot about his offense and his ability to run this offense and make the necessary adjustments going forward in the next 12 weeks?
Yes, 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 and yes. We got to a point last year. I remember coming home from that trip to L.A. and getting in a bit of a argument, debate with Rich Campbell about whether Mitch was permanently benched at that point, right? We all remember the hit pointer game and all those things. And sort of privately wanting to see Chase Daniel run the offense to get answers to questions about Matt that I was curious to see. At that point, I had seen enough of Mitch to know who Mitch was as a quarterback, and I wanted to learn more about who Matt was as an offensive overseer, as a play caller, as a guy who could try to catalyze this offense into something more than it's been. Well, we're going to get that opportunity here with Nick Foles. The first sampling of it against the Falcons was very promising. Obviously, Sunday against the Colts was not promising. And so, yes, there's going to be a lot to learn about who Matt is in this whole thing. And that's a very big deal here as we go forward, because there is no more Mitch. And remember when John Fox flipped out of town and he had that 14-34 record, and we all had to stop and say, hey, those 34 losses don't just all of a sudden come off of Ryan Pace's resume, right? He was here for them as well. And so it's the same thing with Mitch and Matt, where you can't just suddenly cancel out all of Mitch's struggles and give Matt a clean slate. Matt was a part of that as well. And so on Sunday, when you score 11 points, and that's the 22nd time in 37 games as a coach that your offense has failed to get to 21 points, there's questions. There are big questions that need to be answered.
Big questions, but, like, is his job on the line if the offense doesn't improve? Because, like you said about Fox and his record and then how it translates to Pace, Matt Nagy is 23-13, however he got there, whether it was with smoke and mirrors in some of those games against bad quarterbacks, whether it was because of Vic Fangio's defense, who's gone now 2 years ago. He's still 10 over 500 in two-plus years. So do you believe he's coaching for his job and Ryan Pace's job could be on the line as well?
Well, certainly Ryan's job has to be on the line, right? If you can't get to the end of this year with another failed quarterback and another failed offense and another team that doesn't make the playoffs, and suddenly believe that you're going to get another chance to regroup and reset and do all those things. I do think it's premature to go from 3-0 to suddenly worrying about whether everyone's going to get blown out in January, because we have so many more games to be played and so many more things to learn and so many more things, corrections to be potentially made or not made in this next stretch for us to get a clearer picture of where this thing is headed. But absolutely, you have to look at this through a lens of, is this team in position to contend for championships on an annual basis? And if not, why not? And so you have to take the sort of scuba view of all that as we go through this and figure out what's below the surface and what's causing the failures. And if you determine that your head coach can't call plays and can't develop quarterbacks and can't get your offense to score more than 21 on a regular basis, then you have to have some very serious conversations behind closed doors.
Well, I'm asking these questions, Dan. If you go from last year, I think across the board was catastrophically bad offensively. Do we all share that same thought? 29th in points per game, 29th in yards per game. The offensive line was bad collectively. The receivers dropped as many or more passes. You got nothing from the tight end, and Mitch was pretty much in the bottom two or three in most all quarterback statistics. I thought Matt had a bad year trying to get the most out of Mitch. If you go from that to this season, and again, we got 12 weeks to see how this offense works the way that he wants it to work. But let's just say, hypothetically, we get to the end of the season and your progress is you've gone from 29th to right now you're 24th in yards per game and 25th in points per game. And that's kind of a mirage based on how you got there through 4 weeks. So if we get to the end of this season and offensively, we're still in the mid-20s, how do you solve that problem going forward?
Yeah, and that's the question, right? That's the problem, and that's the question. And that's why Sunday was so frustrating for so many people, because it looked so familiar, and it basically unearthed all the questions that we've already been asking for too long, right? Does this run game have an identity yet? No, it doesn't. Well, when are you going to get one? No clue. You know, you got to figure out a way to get that going. And there's this whole chicken and egg debate to that question on whether Matt doesn't trust the running game because it's not any good, or if it's not any good because Matt loses trust in the running game too quickly. And so,
why isn't Cole Kmet getting more snaps?
Right. Why isn't Anthony Miller turning the corner in his development? And so there are a lot of big picture questions that need to be asked with high profile players who aren't reaching the potential that we were sold to believe that they had. And so you have to figure out a way to dial in on that and figure out how to jumpstart this. And so now it's Matt's show. It's with Nick in the driver's seat, and they've got to figure out a way to consistently score more than 21 points. So guys, we've had this conversation 100 times on these airways between the three of us, talking about how in this era of NFL football, you shouldn't treat scoring 21 points like it's some grand achievement.
Right.
And yet the Bears can't get there 2/3 of the time.
It's incredible. Dan Wiederer joining us from the Chicago Tribune on the Corona Hotline. Waddle mentioned Cole Kmet. What drives me crazy, Dan, is when these guys who are really, really smart, or are supposed to be really, really smart, because, look, we second guess, but we know these guys are smarter than us, but it's the dumb moments. Like, duh. Like, how can you give up on the run out of a bye week last year so quickly, and then you need the offseason to say, hey, guys, I was wrong. We all knew they gave up on it too early. And just like when he said today, Cole Kmet has to play more than 11 or 15 snaps or whatever it was. Like, duh. Like, why aren't they? Why do they need like these moments where it all of a sudden happens before they should know to begin with?
You know, and one of the questions that I have about Matt, and that I still have had for a long time, is whether he gets too immersed in the concepts within his playbook rather than the players on his roster, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of times where you see the shuttling in and out of personnel, and you know, you're sort of relying on the things that you drew up on the marker board to get you the first down, rather than the players with all the high-level skill and talent that you've invested a lot in to get you the first down. When I look out on the field sometimes and see, you know, Demetrius Harris and Javon Wims on the field for the same play and Allen Robinson's over on the sideline, you start scratching your head and saying, well, what is this? You know, don't you want your best possible chance of getting a touchdown or a first down or whatever it is on this play to be there? And so I do think that there is some of that you have to sort of zoom out, and you have to say, okay, well, wait a minute. While I really like the concept of this play, what can we do to feature our best players more often? And to the topic of Cole Kmet, he's got to be more a part of it. They drafted him with their top draft pick this year to be the headliner of this draft class, and he's got one catch through four games. You need more than that. You need more than nine catches out of Anthony Miller through four games. All these things have to become part of the conversation, and they have to become a part of why your offense is ascending, or whether it's hitting a wall and hitting a dead end, and then you have to have these really serious discussions about who needs to be launched and who can stay.
Dan, Sylvie and I have always had the conversation, or at least recently, about play calling. Like, I didn't want Matt to give away play calling duties because I want him to get himself back on track. I want him to prove that he can make the adjustments necessary from last year, learn from his mistakes. And I thought I saw some of that in the first couple of games with Mitch, with how he ran his offense. If we get through four games from this point and it doesn't look any better, I've never been an advocate of him giving up the play calling duties, but do you believe that that would even be a possibility if there's not progress offensively?
Boy, I haven't thought about it much before this, and it just has seemed like a stretch for a long time to take that away from a guy who's supposed to be able to do that for you on a high level. If you have to get to a point where you're considering that, well, then you're probably broken to a point that no one wants to consider. The hard part here, coming off an 11-point performance, is you have absolutely zero time this week to get anything constructive done in terms of smoothing out the rough edges and making progress for this Thursday night game at Soldier Field, which, oh, by the way, might be another one of these games where you have to score to keep up with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And so all of a sudden, if you go from 3-0 to 3-2 and the offense struggles in both those games and your quarterback change hasn't produced immediate results, the outside, avalanche of criticism is going to be huge, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to be hard to sort of fend off in the short term. And so I think part of the answer here is we've just got to take a couple breaths in this short week and say, okay, let's try to get through the Saints game, right? Let's wake up on the morning of November 2nd, see what this offense with Foles has done for, at that point, it'll be, what, five starts, and see what it looks like, and then zoom out and figure out where the problems are and what can be fixed and what can't, and we'll have a clearer picture of where this thing is headed. I think the scary part of all this and what we saw on Sunday is that the Bears team that we've seen through 4 weeks, I think, is the Bears team that we expected to see. And it's a team that's headed right down the road to 8-8 or 9-7 and going to leave a lot of people sort of unfulfilled with the direction of this franchise.
Dan, who has a worse quarterback situation than the Bears? I mean, how many teams are there? It can't be more than two or three, is there?
Boy, I'd have to take some time to go through individually. I'll circle back with you on this. It's a good question because you've talked about it all week, just this sort of purgatory and this reality that you're so far away from having any sort of long-term answer, right? And that's the scary part. And here's the deal. So I brought this up earlier on our Bear Download podcast for the Tribune. Friday will be the 3-year anniversary of Mitch's first start, okay? And so when you compare the energy that was in this city for a guy who obviously was drafted number two overall, who came with so much hope and potential and this energy that the city had for, let's see what this guy can turn into, it doesn't exist with a 31-year-old journeyman who has changed teams five times. And so now all of a sudden that sort of patience and tolerance for growing pains and tolerance for mistakes and tolerance for rough outings is very, very low. And if the Bears have too many more performances like they had Sunday, there's just no way to prevent that from becoming a huger, more serious issue for everyone involved.
Do you think anyone on that offensive side of the ball is feeling any type of pressure at this point? Or do you think they're remaining calm?
Who do you mean? Just all the players?
Everybody. Everyone on the offense that is an offensive member of that staff. Because, again, the defense isn't 2018 dominant, but they're still good enough for you to win more than you lose.
Yeah, they are. And Matt has been given this luxury 14 times in 37 games. The defense has allowed one touchdown or zero touchdowns. What a luxury that is for an offensive-minded coach to realize that more than a third of the time your defense isn't going to give up two touchdowns in a game. And yet you still can't capitalize that on a consistent enough basis to put yourself in position to win games that you should win more regularly. And so, yeah, I think there's certainly some urgency. I don't know if it's pressure yet. because you get the luxury of saying, okay, we're still adapting to Nick Foles. We're still trying to smooth out some of the timing. But, it's, you know, we've talked about it before. It gets late early in this league, and,
yeah.
and you can't be heading toward Halloween talking about, oh, we still need to find an identity, and we, you know, we still got to calibrate, and we just – once we get the rhythm between the quarterback and the play caller, everything will be full go. Well, show it. You know, show it at some point. And at this point, they haven't shown it anywhere near frequently enough. And that's why even for a 3-1 team that had an unbeaten September, there's this feeling in the air in Chicago this week that, uh-oh, you know, this team might be exactly who we thought.
Yeah, listen, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic starting today and saying, well, I think the next 12 weeks are really important. But I believe that for a lot of reasons, the next 12 weeks are really important. I mean, they may come out, guys, and they may be able to say, I told you so in 4 weeks. That thing may be humming, okay?
Right.
Like, I don't know. But I'm telling you, like, if we get to 6 weeks from now and that thing looks like it does now, I mean, it's going to be more than itchy and scratchy around here.
Well, and that's why as an observer of this, as an analyst of this, I'm very excited for this next stretch because we are going to learn a lot about this. And that's why yes. when we got off the plane in L.A. last year and I was saying, I want to learn about Matt. I want to learn about him as an offensive overseer and as a play caller and whether this is all quarterback related or 80% quarterback related or 60. How do you break up the pie chart, right? Well, we're going to get a chance now to see
yep.
how that kind of unfolds. And so more than the next 12 weeks, I'll shorten it for you. Let's go the next five. Let's get to November 2nd, scale out and revisit this conversation. We can pull it up on that ESPN app, re-listen to it, and then see with whether what some of the worries we had were justified or if the Bears have found ways to calm those waters.
Don't forget, it's the ESPN Chicago app, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Really quick, Robert Quinn only played 44% of the snaps. Why?
I have no idea what's going on with him health-wise. I have no idea what's going on with the Bears in general. When you have Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on pace to combine for 10 sacks for right. 2020, that's a problem. There's a lot of money invested up there. Now, listen, some of this is a byproduct of playing from, you know, 2 and 3 scores behind for 3 of the 4 weeks that you've played and not having the opportunity to have a lead and go after the passer and get people on the ground. But they need more production from Quinn. They need more production from Mack. They need more production from a defense that isn't taking the ball away quite enough. And so, look, this is a critical stage of the season for them to prove whether they're actually a legitimate playoff threat or whether they're just, you know, again, 8-8, 9-17, which I thought going into the year is what they were, and I've seen nothing through 4 games to steer me off of that.
You know what? 2 years ago at this time, we were starting to dream, weren't we? Well, yeah. Like, isn't it amazing? Like,
Club even, Dub.
Yeah, the Club Dub was open. It was rocking. Like, even after the 2018 season, we were like, okay, we're pointing in the right direction. 2019 is another step forward. You fast forward a year later, and, like, we're sitting here talking about, hey, the next 5 weeks offensively are really important for this entire franchise. It's crazy.
So 2 years ago, they were in the bye week coming off the 6-touchdown performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Buccaneers' last visit to Soldier Field. And so, yes, things change rapidly, and particularly when you don't attain stability at the quarterback position, particularly when you don't find a way to jumpstart an offense that should be jumpstarted by now. And so here we go, right? You know, this is Bears football. It's Bears football for the last 35 years, right? Really since 1992 or whatever it was, where there's just been no semblance of consistent success whatsoever. And now, you know, they're in the middle of a stretch that we all agree is pivotal yeah. to the direction of the franchise.
Dan, thank you. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Talk soon.
Dan Weider, Chicago Tribune. All right, we've got Waddle's World coming up in 10 minutes. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Letting it breathe just a little bit more today. Paying tribute to the late, great Eddie Van Halen. Passed away today at the age of 65. Is that Hot for Teacher? Was that the beginning of Hot for Teacher, Waddle?
Yeah.
So,
you
I mean, like, the one of the great all-time videos,
woo!
Right?
Woo! You know, he also played, he played on Michael Jackson's Beat It song, right?
So the story is Quincy Jones called Eddie Van Halen, and Eddie didn't know who he was. He goes, who the hell is Quincy?
Oh, my God.
And he's like, Quincy Jones. He's like, oh, man, sorry. So he went into the studio to record the solo for Beat It, and he's like, well, what do you want me to do? And Quincy goes, just do whatever you want to. Michael Jackson was in another room recording an audiobook. For something he was recording an audiobook for. He was like in a part. It was like a kid's book for, and he was doing the audio portion of some book. And so he comes back, and Eddie had completely written that portion of the song, and he thought Michael Jackson was going to be pissed at him. And he was like, oh, thank you for making the song better. And then Quincy asked him, he didn't take any payment for it. So it's just listed in the liner notes as guitar solo ? In some books, and guitar solo Frankenstein, which was the name of Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good.
That's a good story right there.
Nerd for you.
Really good. Like, yeah. All right, let's take some calls. We'll continue to pay tribute to Eddie Van Halen, tell some good stories, too, along the way. Bellencourt in the South Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bellencourt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a quick question. It's starting to look like these guys are not going to be here the next 2 years, man, Nagy and Pace. So I just wanted to ask, who is the next Sean Payton and the next Jerry Vinicius out there that the Bears can hire?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point yet. And I'd be lying to you if I said to you I had the perfect guy to ultimately fill a role like that. Don't know. Sorry. I could lie to you, but I don't know who that boy would be.
Again, like, would you revisit Josh McDaniels? And it's like, again, he's been elusive. You considered him, you know, if down the road. Again, it's still, like, even Weider said, it's still premature.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. You want to see these 12 games, the offense, do what it's supposed to do.
Ideally, what will happen is over the next 12 weeks, that question will be answered.
If you do this, you have to bring in two guys together, right?
So we're not going through this, hey, well, he's not on his timeline, and now we only have to fire
you
one.
Bring in,
right,
if you're,
right.
If you're doing this, you're getting everybody. Because that's been the model for success. Is
well,
that
let me
you
ask
bring
you
in a GM who's like, I've got a coach lined up. He's got his coordinators lined up. This is what we're doing. And you go, okay.
What
bring
if,
them all
what
in.
If the offense gets better? We still don't have our quarterback. Could you then say, well, Matt proved to us something, and we don't want Pace to choose the quarterback?
Oh, the coup!
I thought you were going to start up with that earlier in the show.
No, I save that. Say that for later.
Especially for with the offense doing so poorly. You can't yell coup when the offense is doing so poorly.
I can yell boo.
Yes, exactly. Eddie in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. Eddie!
How's it going, man?
Good.
Oh, man. Abdallah stole my thunder. I was about to say the exact same thing. Because you can't bring in if you fire Pace, his replacement. You can't have an arranged marriage with Nagy with him. You know, it's like he's going to come in and he's going to want to pick his own guy, and I think it's only fair to do that. I think we should look at successful organizations, try and pick somebody from like Seattle's front office, maybe the Steelers, or maybe a team that has a history of drafting players that actually play. That actually see the floor of, you know, drafting that high.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Like, when we get to that point, I'll get deep into that bunker and have better thoughts and more thoughts. I'm just pointing out that, like, look, that conversation may not even need to be had. I'm just telling you, I think it's the next 12 weeks, I think it'll be really telling.
Yes, it's very important. We'll continue to take your Bears calls. In a half hour from now, Jesse will join us. We're going to have a conversation about zooming out on Theo. Is there only one grade you can give him? That's coming up in 30 minutes. Next, we always have fun inside Waddle's World.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's do that. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Oh, baseball update for you.
Yeah, I heard you guys belly aching during the break.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, they stopped waving in Marlins and started waving in Braves. It is now 7-4. Braves, bottom of the seventh with one out, and the line is still moving for the Braves.
Wait a minute.
What do baseball managers don't understand about the third time through the lineup?
Not much. I think that one may have been tagged as well.
Well, wait a minute. You're allowed to score against the Marlins? I didn't know that
it
was a possibility.
The A's have now scored 9 runs against the Marlins. It would take you guys 30 games to do that, and my guys as well, the Reds and the Cubs. 9-4. That's money burnt.
Yeah. Good job, Watt.
That's money burnt. Well, you're on the same boat.
I know. You and I both.
Well, we're going down.
I know. Good job to both of us. Damn. Terrible.
This is a 4 baseball game afternoon or day. Houston and Oakland are just underway. Later tonight, the Yankees and the Rays go at it. And then the Padres and the Dodgers. That should be a really tasty series.
Yes, yes. I'm with you on that.
How about what day was it where Tatis hit 2 bombs in the same inning? Was that Friday?
That's like every day.
Not in the same inning.
That,
I'm sorry. In the same game.
Yes.
Was that the Friday? Or maybe it's Thursday. Whatever
it was.
Every
game.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
And then Machado stepped to the dish and hit another dong right after Tatis hit one.
You're talking about the game 3 of the Cardinals series?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, maybe it was last Wednesday or Thursday. Wow. Has that team got some excitement?
I think it was Thursday. Yeah, I think you're right.
I know you had some thoughts about last night's football game in Kansas City, didn't you?
Well, again, that call, Greeny was talking about it on his show. When Patrick Mahomes is getting sacked, but yet isn't down, and the ball comes out, and then Corrente says that, and I like Corrente as an official, he says that...
trying to protect him?
They're protecting Mahomes. I mean, are we not playing football anymore? Are we not?
If that was Brian Hoyer, would the official said we're trying to protect Mr. Hoyer? Or no, that wasn't going to happen.
No, no. But again, like, I know he's great. I know they're trying to protect them. But that's a football play. When you're still not down, you can poke the ball out of there. Turning point.
Yes, and I know you guys accused me of hyperbole. But I'm telling you. If the Patriots had gone to Arrowhead, flying out
the officials,
I'm just saying, had they come away with a victory there, and that game was closer than the final score, let's not kid ourselves.
Because of the officials.
That and, like, there was a ball went through Edelman's hands and was intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu for a touchdown.
Yeah, then what about before the half with Hoyer not knowing that he doesn't have timeouts?
All that stuff. I'm just saying to you, he almost hit another dunk. That game was closer than the final. The final was 26-10. That game was not. It didn't feel like a 16-point margin. I'm just telling you, had the Patriots got on that plane in the morning, got to Kansas City to face the defending NFL champions with one of the most exciting offenses on the face of the planet recent years, without Cam Newton, and they would have come away with a W there, that would have been one of the best regular season wins I think in the last 25 years.
Don't you think Belichick always calls them one game at a time and we're on to Cincinnati? Don't you think that he wanted that one more than most?
I think he also probably knew even if they played really well, it wasn't going to happen. So I think he's...
Why he's more pissed at Hoyer before the half, pissed at the official for making that call. It's a different game if those stuff...
Listen, they beat themselves. In a lot of ways. Like, I'm not suggesting that at some point at the Chiefs where their back was truly against the wall, they wouldn't have come away with a W. But they beat themselves with the interception for a touchdown, and then, as you described, all the stuff that happened before the half. With that said, I thought it was still, you know, as boring as it was, I was entertained.
The Brady versus Belichick thing is ongoing.
Oh, yeah. And to watch Aaron Rodgers do what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And I get it. The Falcons' defense is bad, and it's depleted. And I think they lost two more secondary players last night. But he is just in such a rhythm right now.
Did you hear him trash talk today on
Pat McAfee's show? Yeah, didn't he say, like, a bad year for me is a career year for other quarterbacks?
It's true.
Yeah, right. That's like, it isn't trash talking if it's accurate, right?
Pull up the what did he have last year? Like 27 touchdowns, 4,000 yards. Like, we would go crazy for that with the Bears quarterback.
Didn't he only have four interceptions last year?
Yeah.
His numbers, in 16 games, he completed 62% of his passes for 4,002 yards, 26 touchdowns, four interceptions, and had a quarterback rating of 95.4. It's the lowest quarterback rating he had since the 2015 season.
What would you guys do for a 26-4 season from a Bears quarterback?
I'd probably go a lot of places naked.
We've been over this. I will give you if Roger Goodell was here and said the trade has been agreed to, you can trade Trubisky or Foles, whoever you want. I don't care at this point. For Patrick Mahomes, and it only costs a pinky toe, you can have it.
How about your big toe?
Big toe, I think you need that one for balance. So I might need a little more than just a quarterback. Like, that one's a walking toe.
Your dog doesn't
need one. What about if you get
Reed
with Mahomes?
Right, your dog only has three legs.
Yeah,
and my dog has severe arthritis, and we take her to physical therapy once a week.
Yeah, but you could have the best quarterback of our generation.
Yeah.
I'm a Bears fan, you are.
I mean, a big toe. Yeah. You guys wouldn't even give it up your pinky toe, talk about a Bears fan.
We're talking about you.
Yeah, we're not talking about us. Don't turn this on us.
What about you?
Listen, man, you talk a lot.
Do I get a replacement one, or do I just get...
I don't know. If you want to tape a fake one on, you can.
Do I get a fake one?
You can get a fakie.
Can I have a fakie?
Of course.
No, I'm going to say, can I have a fake one?
I don't care what you
do. Take my toe, then.
Your big one?
Take the big one.
What are you going to make the fake toe with?
Take my wife. what am I going to make it with? I don't know.
Like,
I'll be like one of those kids in high school that makes a duct tape wallet. I'll make a duct tape toe.
And we will all thank you.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. And you'll be like, hey, like Big Cat said, we had him on a while ago. I'll be that guy at Bears games wearing a toe around his neck like it's a chain, like I'm Flava Flav with a big toe around my neck. And people will be coming up to me and be like, thank you for the wins. Yes. Thank you for the wins. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Hey, it's the toe guy.
Hey, can I get you a beer? Can I get you a brat? Whatever.
You got us Patty Mahomes. Toe guy.
I'll have a spot on the Super Bowl parade on one of the buses.
Now, can you jump out of the stands and catch a football as it goes through the uprights?
Whatever it takes.
Okay, this will make you all feel good. The NFL scoring the highest ever through 4 weeks.
I know, except our team.
The NFL's offensive surge in 2020 has pushed into historic territory. The league has averaged a combined 51.3 points per game, the highest through 4 weeks of a season.
11.
Since the 90s.
We got 11.
1970 AFL-NFL merger. The previous high was 48.1.
We got three. We got the late score. It's 11.
And this is what I was saying earlier. I look around the league, and I watch the Bears in the context of the NFL. And Tonya Harding is out here getting three touchdowns on skates last night. And the Bears can't do anything. The Bears can't do anything. I don't know the guy's first name. Tonyan.
Yeah, the tight end from the Packers.
Tonyan, yes. I couldn't think of his name.
I thought you were making an Aaron Rodgers joke because he got hurt.
That's what I was doing, Bleck. I was trying to figure out.
No, Tonyan. Tonyan gets three touchdowns, and this dude, like, what? It's just, it's upsetting. Like, if I'm Bears ownership, I'm watching the other games. I have the red zone. I'm going, what the hell? We're going to say, this is what we're going to do. You've got 10 days off. Matt Nagy, you're coming over to my house on Saturday. We're going to watch the red zone. Every time someone scores, I'm going to look at you and go, what the hell?
Speaking of, we get one of those this Sunday.
Right. Well, I was going to say, do you know what the 3:30 game slot makes you do? It makes you watch the red zone and cry.
I know.
Because everybody is ringing it up.
We better ring it up on Thursday. Ringing it up.
All right, Bam Adebayo is upgraded to questionable for tonight's game four.
I think they think he's playing. Someone's reporting that he's playing, or at least going to give it.
What's
a go.
Line on that game? I'm playing the Lakers. I mean, what Jimmy did was fantastic, but yeah, I think the Lakers win tonight.
I want to bring that up later in the show about the ratings later.
Mike Clevenger.
Woj is saying the plan is for him to return tonight.
Yes, yes, and that would be great.
Mike Clevenger is on the Padres NLDS roster. He's going to start tonight's game against the Dodgers. Titans near return after second straight day without positive tests. And with no symptoms, Cam Newton could return this week. So, and by the way, the Dolphins are sticking with Ryan Fitzpatrick for week five.
Going to wait for Tua a little bit longer.
Yeah, and finally, the NFL is threatening penalties, including game forfeiture for COVID-19 violations. In a memo released after a Monday call with officials from every team, Roger Goodell wrote the league will issue discipline that could include the loss of draft choices or game forfeits if protocol violations occur that result in the spread of the coronavirus, adjustments to schedule, or other unspecified league impact.
Did you see Belichick double bagged it yesterday?
Two masks?
That? Yes.
I did not
know
that.
He went with a mask over the nose, like you should wear a mask, and then like a gator over that.
What are you laughing at, Black?
Double bagging reference?
Yes. Yes.
I think I was taught in health class that you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think you're
putting your own health at risk, yeah. Aren't you, at that point? And circulation becomes an issue. Hey, when we come back, I'm going to bring you the nuttiest story of the day.
The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
You know what time it is? Nuttiest story of the daytime, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball
is bound to get a little nutty, and we're paying tribute also to Eddie Van Halen. Everyone's talking about Eddie Van Halen, who passed away far too early at the
65.
Age of 65.
He had battled throat cancer for quite a long time, right?
Yes, and he was going overseas to get treatment. So, just one of the greats, and as many people, like, when you hear his guitar playing, you say, that's Van Halen.
Yeah. Sad. Tough segue, but I'm going to do it anyway. Nuttiest story of the day. It involves Domino's.
Like, actual Domino's the game or Domino's pizza? What Domino's?
The UK branch of Domino's is investigating after a pizza delivery driver was caught on camera rubbing a customer's food on his crotch.
Ooh.
And then handing over the order.
That's sloppy, too, with pizza. Like, I mean, it's...
You could burn yourself. Like, I'm not worried about you as the pizza consumer. If you're the driver, you could burn yourself. Like, this is a lose-lose.
No, keep reading. It wasn't pizza.
Was it wings?
Jonathan Terry.
Boneless wings?
Great moments in Waddle not reading the story beforehand.
Were they boneless wings?
How many times do you say to me, hey, don't read this until you get
when
it to
I
the air?
Say it, it's different.
He didn't
Who
say
cares?
It today.
I didn't say
didn't
it say today.
It
today.
Right? Breadsticks, just, what was it?
Let me guess, boneless wings?
I'm going breadsticks.
Not for...
What'd you say? What'd you say? Come on, fill me in. I want to laugh. What'd you say?
You'll have to listen to the podcast.
No, I'm not going to do
ESPN
that.
ESPN Chicago app.
I'm not going to do that. So
download,
tell me now.
Download and subscribe.
What was it? The boneless wing question?
Yeah.
Or a comment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jonathan Terry of Buckinghamshire, England, recently ordered from the pizza chain during a night with his friends. Man was watching a movie with his friends, digging into the tub of birthday cake flavored Ben and Jerry's from Domino's when a call from his girlfriend stopped him cold in his tracks. About 20 minutes after we received the delivery, we went to get the ice cream out and weirdly had a call from my girlfriend, Terry told the paper. She said, I hope you haven't eaten the ice cream that Domino's sent you. She then told him to go and look at the Ring doorbell footage. Upon reviewing video from the home security camera, Terry was horrified to learn that the driver had knocked on the door, rubbed the pint of ice cream on his crotch before handing it over to the unknowing customer.
You can get ice cream from Domino's?
In Nottinghamshire?
Buckinghamshire.
Buckinghamshire.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, just south of Nottinghamshire.
That's disgusting. And you taunted him
wings.
By doing it in front
boneless
of the ice ring doorbell.
Cream. Yeah, boneless ice cream. Wings.
In front of the ring doorbell, guys. I mean, they should find that guy and put him in jail.
Yeah, you're not a fan of that type of activity. Like, nobody is, but it's something that really gets you.
You don't even get a trial anymore. If you are messing with someone's food to that extent, you go right to jail. Do not
put the lotion in the basket. Well, yes. Domino's has responded. We are extremely disappointed to see this film, and our driver's behavior is unacceptable. We expect high standards of behavior at all times, and clearly this individual has breached the trust of our customers, rightly expected from Domino's.
I love they're disappointed. That's when you're outraged. I mean, shouldn't you say we are outraged by the... I mean, when you take the ice cream out and you pull your pants down and you put some stuff in the ice cream, you add some nuts to the ice cream.
Whoa!
Talking about, like, right?
I mean, yeah, you put some pistachios in there. Yeah,
and
walnuts.
Sprinkles. And, yeah.
And walnuts. Yeah.
Some caramel drizzle.
Yeah.
You're not disappointed then if you're the employer. You should be outraged. That's a bad statement.
Who's taking your pants off and dipping your boys in some ice cream? I mean, like, come on.
Is this soft serve?
No, it's Ben and Jerry's. It was a pint.
Yeah. I got another story for you from the UK. College student gets stuck in clothes dryer after having a couple of drinks.
You did that, didn't you?
No, I never
You went
did
in
that.
The dryer.
No, I never did that. A college student in the UK needed to be...
Is this one from Nottinghamshire?
No.
Or Buckinghamshire?
No, East Yorkshire.
Oh, East Yorkshire.
Yeah, a college student in the UK needed to be rescued by her local fire brigade after getting her legs stuck inside the clothes dryer she shares with her roommates. Rosie Cole, she's 21, says she and her friends were drinking wine and tequila on Tuesday night when she was challenged to fit inside the appliance. I was with my other housemates, and one of them dared me to get in, said Cole, a student at the University of Hull in East Yorkshire, England. Me thinking there was no chance I'd actually fit. Decided to try it. To my surprise, seemed easier than I thought. So they had to call the fire department to get in. Have you ever gotten in one of those pinches?
No.
All right.
All right, there you go. It's Waddle's World each and every day.
I'm going to put my stuff in your ice cream.
It's terrible, and we're disappointed. Disappointed.
We are mildly disappointed in our driver.
Disappointed is when the pizza shows up 20 minutes late. You're outraged.
With little hairs on it.
2 minutes away from Jesse Rogers. When is Theo walking out that door?